say good morning again. Well, as we've been walking through the writings in our two-year study, in our reading, in our class, focused at least these first few sermons in the Psalms and sort of try to dig down and meditate on these various expressions of trust and praise. And the aim in all this is, as we meditate more deeply on these expressions of trust and praise, is that at the end of this, or through the process of this and at the end of this, that we ourselves, our hearts and our lives be more filled up with trust and praise to God, that even be overflowing with more trust and praise in God. And that's the aim in all this. So we've looked at the expressions, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my glory, the Lord is my inheritance. And today I want to think about the expression, the Lord is my strength. So if you would open up again to Psalm 18. And it's a longer psalm. It's actually one we looked at over the summer when we were studying through the former prophets in 2 Samuel. This psalm's almost recorded word for word in 2 Samuel 22. But I want to at least look at the opening lines of this. I won't read the whole thing, but we'll go ahead and at least read through verse 19. I originally planned to cut off at verse 6 like I had Jim read, but as I was listening to him read, I thought, man, we got to keep going, at least to get this initial wave of God's response. So Psalm 18, we'll pick up in verse 1. I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon Yahweh who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils. Fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. Yahweh also thundered in the heavens. The Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18 is just an awesome, epic psalm of thanksgiving and praise in response to God's deliverance. The heading of the psalm takes us back to a period of this great salvation that David's experienced. If you remember back in our studies in 1 and 2 Samuel, after David's initial military victories and Saul grew jealous, he just endured this long period of time of hostility from Saul, where Saul chased him down and hunted him and tried to kill him over and over again. And so he spent this long period of time on the run, in the wilderness, always having to look over his shoulder, always having to hide and take refuge in all these places. And so this psalm appears, and he's made it past that long period of difficulty and trouble. We don't know exactly when this occurred in David's life, but we know he's received this great sort of momentous victory and salvation from the hand of his enemies and from Saul. And so it's from this place of rest and salvation that David begins to look back on that experience of salvation and just talk about and declare all that God did for him. And so the psalm opens up in the first three verses with just this beautiful description of trust and praise. God is this. He's done this. I call on him. I'm saved. And then in verses 4 through 6, he describes what he's been going through and the trouble. He doesn't talk about all the years he was on the run, but he just describes it as if it was this encounter of drowning. The torrents of ungodliness surrounded me, and it's like imagine you're out in the middle of this like tempestuous sea or whatever, the waves are all around you, and on top of that, you've got people that are taking ropes and tying you down and trying to drag you under. That's that experience that's the imagery David uses to describe this experience. And in that situation of desperate, urgent despair, he cried out and God heard. And then everything from verse 7 on, at least through what we read in verse 19, this is this just fantastic description of how God acted to save him. And he uses imagery of like nature itself being unleashed when God came to rescue and to save him and just pull him out of the waters. And so it's this great picture of salvation. But then we get a little bit farther. In verse 30 and 30 through 45, you see another description of salvation and victory, but this time from a completely different perspective. There, David's the one who's strong and who's fighting and who's getting the victories and who's subduing enemies under his feet. But what he points out is, it's God who's equipping me, who's strengthening me, who trained my arm to bend this bow of bronze. So you think, well, which was it? Did God burst into to nature and rescue David out of this drowning situation? Or did God strengthen David to fight the battle and win the victory? Yes, like both adequately describes what's happening in David's circumstances. And so then the psalm ends with just this, again, another bold, beautiful declaration of trust and praise. Blessed be the rock, exalted be the God of my salvation. Now let's go back to verses 1 through 3. That's where we'll really start to see this expression, the Lord is my strength. So the psalm begins with again, a beautiful statement. It's an endearing statement. I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Just want you to just think about the tenderness and the beauty, the simplicity of a statement like that. I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. That simple statement just says so much. Let us all grow to have that this purity of love and devotion to our God. But so in that opening line, David describes the Lord as his strength. In the next three lines, in verse 2, David uses seven images here that all picture refuge, protection, deliverance in battle. Listen again, Yahweh is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Again, rock, fortress, deliverer, rock of refuge, shield, horn of salvation, and stronghold. And all seven of these images, if you think about what's being said here, all seven of these images describe something or some place that David can run to depend on, again, for refuge, for protection, for deliverance. And again, as we've noted throughout this series, it's not just that God provides these things, but God is these things for David. But you think about all that in verse 2, and the opening line stands apart, right? The opening line is different. Rather than some thing or place that David can turn to, that opening line expresses some quality that's a part of David or that's within David. He says, the Lord is my strength, right? The Lord is the source of David's strength. The Lord is David's strength. David's power, David's might, David's toughness, David's endurance, all that David has to go into battle is all from the Lord himself and is all in the Lord himself. And then what he says there, again, very simply in verse 1, Yahweh is my strength. He expands. And so this is the part of the psalm that I didn't continue reading. Let's go on down to verse 30. So again, that statement, that declaration that the Lord is my strength, what he just says there very, very, very succinctly, he's expanding when we get to verses 30 through 45. And I want to just read this and again, think about how this is picturing the Lord as his strength. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but Yahweh? Who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds. He set me upon the high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've given me also the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me. Your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet, for you girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rise up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They cried for help, but there was none to save, even to Yahweh, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as dust before the wind. I emptied them out as mire of the streets. You have delivered me from the contentions of the people. You've placed me as head of the nations. A people whom I've not known serve me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners submit. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortress. Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me up above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Yahweh. I will sing praises to your name. He gives great salvation to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his seed forever. Again, just this picture of amazing strength and overwhelming victory and just total domination in battle, right? But it's God who strengthens him. All of that that's just described there with all that victory, it's from God. It is God. David's absolutely fighting, but God gives the victory. David fights with strength and power. I mean, again, you listen to the imagery. They submit. They go down. I crush. You know, all that stuff. David fights with strength and power, but it's in the strength of the Lord and in the strength of his might. And so I want you to just take in that picture and think about it in terms of David's own circumstances and how he can very, very powerfully, boldly, confidently say, Yahweh is my strength. The Lord is my strength. But we recognize the battle rages on for us. Like David, followers of Christ are called to stand firm in a battle against evil. And like David, we have to put all our trust in the Lord as our strength. We don't fight the same way that David fought. David fought in intangible, physical battles against political and personal enemies. Our fight's spiritual, and our fight's a part of something larger that's going on in the heavenlies. But the principles that we see that's expressed in this psalm and expressed in David's own battles and fights applies very profoundly to the battle that we're in. We're called to fight. We're called to stand firm. We're called to put trust in the Lord as our strength. Just listen to Paul's instructions in Ephesians 6. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. We're called to be strong. Right? I mean, feel the force of Paul's statement. Be strong. But it's not because we are strong. Not our own strength. We're called to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We depend, we rely, we trust completely on him and his strength. He's the source of our strength. He is our strength. We overcome temptation because he is our strength. We endure calamity when it strikes us and crisis when it strikes us because he is our strength. We turn the other cheek and go the extra mile because he is our strength. We love our enemies and pray for those who mistreat us and bless those who curse us because he is our strength. We rejoice even in suffering because he is our strength. We give thanks and hope in the face of discouragement, disappointment, despair because he is our strength. And as John's been reminding us as he's given announcements, we overcome evil with good because he is our strength. It's not our strength. It's not our power. It's the Lord. I am weak, like ridiculously weak. I recognize everything that I have, everything that I am, it's the Lord. Without him, I'm nothing. And I get glimpses of this because there's times when I just feel like I'm standing on thin ice and I don't know what's keeping me up, but it's God's grace and God's strength. And then the times when you feel like you're on solid rock, you know, that's all the Lord. It's not me. We fail when we're trusting in our own strength. We fail when we reject God as our strength, or just fail to even recognize him or see him as our strength. And so we need to see and truly see the power of the Lord that's available to us. Do open up your Bibles to Ephesians. I want to look at Ephesians 1 together. And this prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian brethren. And so Paul opens up this amazing letter with this just overwhelming praise of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And he just goes on to just talk about all sorts of different things that we have in Christ. And so after, again, praising God and just helping raise our minds and our eyes to see the amazing things we have in Christ, he turns his attention in verse 15 to a prayer or series of prayers he's been praying for these brethren. And let's pick up in Ephesians 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your heart being enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what is what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And I want you to just take a minute and picture in your minds the tremendous, amazing, magnificent strength that's being pictured in verses 20 through 23. The strength and the might that's being described here, right? Okay, the strength and the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. And then the strength and the might that it took to take the risen Jesus and exalt him into heaven, to sit him down at the right hand of God, far above all rule, power, authority, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but in the age to come, to bring him to that exalted position, and then to put all things in subjection under his feet. Even including the church, right? You see, God raised him up and put enemies down. So you have a little glimpse in your mind of the power we're talking about, right? And so if you think for a second, the strength and the might that it took to raise Jesus from the dead, seat him at the right hand of God, subdue all enemies under his feet, making him Lord of all, that's the picture he uses to describe the surpassing greatness of the power towards us who believe. In other words, if you can imagine and understand the power that it took took to raise Jesus from the dead, seat him at the right hand of God, making him Lord in all, then you can understand the power that is available to believers. Think about that, right? And then Paul's prayer here is that we would know this. That's his prayer. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know. So that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Do you know this? A lot of times we live like we don't. I mean, just survey. Walk through your life, walk through your week. A lot of times we live like we don't know this. We can live such weak lives, succumbing to every temptation, crying about every discomfort, wanting to give up, wanting to give in. Or just, you think about, again, times where we are so distracted, we live like lives distracted by things that don't matter, or just giving ourselves to things that don't matter. None of this reflects a life that is tapped into the power of resurrection, exaltation, and coronation, right? You read Acts, and I was walking through parts of Acts with a brother this week, and it's the first time that he's really starting to see Acts and study it. And he, what did he say? I should have written it down. The reaction was just, and you read that and you think, man, we just got to suck it up a little bit. And that's right. You mean you read Acts and you see the amazing things the disciples accomplished in the name of Jesus. It wasn't their strength. It wasn't their power. It was the Holy Spirit poured out from heaven by our Lord Jesus Christ, filling them, leading them, empowering them. They're plugged into the source of power. They weren't relying on their own strength. They weren't even depending on one another. They were devoted to God in prayer together. They were rooted in the Scriptures together. And they trusted in God and turned to God in everything. They could say, just like David said, I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. So can you say that? And will you say that? The Lord is my strength. Let's pull this up. So we're ready for our homework. Keep digging deeper into this, right? Keep bringing this up week by week to just encourage you, those times that you have of stillness before the Lord and devotion to Him when you're reading, when you're praying. Let's just keep digging deeper in faith and devotion and praise. Each of these images, right, as we just unpack them a little bit as we've done, forces us to get real with God. Do you really believe Him? Do you really trust Him? Do you really love Him? You can go to church, you can say your prayers, you can live a decent life, but again, this is about digging down and saying, do you really love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength? So the homework is continue to wrestle with this and personalize this. I've said this before, and I want to say this throughout our series. We first have to objectively confess Jesus is Lord, right? The Lord. That's the fact. That's the rule of the universe. But it's from there that gets a little bit deeper in us, and we personalize it, and we say, He's my Lord. He's my shield. He's my glory. He's my inheritance. He's my strength, right? And we've got to take that step as well. So we don't want to skip the first step and miss the objective reality and just it'll turn into like the cotton candy fluff that we don't want, right? The Lord's my, no, He is Lord. From there, He is my strength. And we personalize it and dig into our faith and our love for the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise Your name. You are awesome and mighty. As we read Psalm 18 and think about Your awesome power and strength, when You heard David cry out to You in distress, You swooped down and with such tremendous power, You rescued him and You delivered him from all danger and threat and harm. And at the same time, You strengthened him and gave him what he needed to fight and overcome and dominate. And as we think about that and we recognize the battle that we're in, it helps us appreciate the strength that You provide us as well. That You've exercised and shown tremendous power to save us. And You give us amazing strength and power to equip us for battle and strengthen us for battle. Help us to know what is the surpassing greatness of Your power toward us who believe. The same strength and power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand, exalted Him above all and subjugated all things to Him. Help us to live like Jesus is Lord. Help us to live like You are our strength and put all our trust in You and depend on You, and not trust in our own strength and ability, but to fully devote ourselves and commit ourselves to You. be with us. We need your grace and your mercy always, and your patience, and your wisdom, and your love. And today we ask especially for your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to pull out your songbooks or follow along on the screen,